Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of losing weight only to gain it all back? The weight loss experts at SlimRank.com have done the research. SlimRank.com ranks the safest, most effective GLP-1 programs that get and keep the weight off for good. Stop watching the scale go up and down. Go to SlimRank.com and pick America's number one weight loss program today. SlimRank.com. That's SlimRank.com. Your dream body is just a few months away. SlimRank.com.
Hello and welcome to our build-up of the Hungarian Grand Prix. This weekend, it's time to get into some action at the Hungarian Grand Prix. And if you enjoyed him so much, he's back. He's on the podcast again, all the way from America. It's our boy James Coker. Welcome on. Are you excited for Hungary this weekend?
I'm very excited. I can't wait. Can't wait for Monaco without walls. Can't wait for what Max Verstappen refers to as a Mickey Mouse circuit.
I also see that we've matched with Alpine today. So instead of you me mugging you off and telling you to wear a race suit and doing it by yourself, we have coordinated today. We are both supporting Alpine.
We did not plan this, by the way. This just happened. I'm rocking Alpine because I have double Alpine drivers in my grid rival lineup this week. So I'm just trying to send them some good vibes. But we'll talk to that later. But like, we know this is going to be a shorter episode. So like a piece of a short form fitting underwear, we're going to try to keep this episode brief.
Damn. That was,
right.
Yeah. We're going to swiftly move on to the Hungarian Grand Prix. We're going to move past that.
Swiftly move on. I was gonna make a brief joke about like a F1 driver that like had a short career, but I thought that was too mean. But I did do some research about F1 drivers who had famously short careers. I didn't want to make like a Nyck de Vries joke because I felt like that was too soon and too mean. But I did find a fun fact about Mario Dominguez. Do you know about this person?
No, I don't know who that is.
Apparently, Mario Dominguez had the shortest career in Formula One history. He was a champ car driver, so that was like an IndyCar spinoff in the 2000s. And it was like in 2004 or 2005, he drove one test lap at Silverstone for Jordan. And he was supposed to get out in the afternoon and have like a full test session. There were like two of the drivers there, but there was fog and rain that kept him from getting a full session in. He did one very slow installation lap before returning to the pits. And that was his career in Formula One.
So he just did the installation lap. That's all he did.
That's all he did.
All he did. Someone else who had a very short career. We're going off on a tangent here. But someone else who had a very short career. And the only one that I can think of is, I think it was 2014. Andre Lotterer did one race in Caterham or Lotus, whatever it's called there, at Belgium. One race. All he did. Showed up. Never rocked up ever again. Was like, you know what? I do not want to drive at the back. I'm out
of
here.
And I think there was a mechanical issue, right? And he didn't even get to finish the race.
I think you're right there as well. The yeah. I think very early on into the race, he was out. But yeah, there we go. Short career. Brief careers. We're off on that tangent, but we'll pull it back to Hungary. And we can dive into what is going to be, I think, potentially an exciting race weekend with coming off the back of two Mercedes wins. Max then won the race before that, but we've also had six different race winners. Hungary sometimes can throw up a wild ride of a race. I'm thinking of 2014, 2015 were exciting ones. So I think we could be in for a very, very tasty one today.
Yeah. Would you say that like, it's pretty accurate to say that there aren't a lot of opportunities for overtaking in Hungary, right? So it's really going to be about quali, yeah?
Yeah, yes. Whoever gets pole position is, you know, quite likely to... I'm doing a Will Buxton here, but if you get pole position, you're going to be starting from the front, and that's going to obviously give you the best chance to win the race. So I think, you know, pole position is going to be
key. What a lot of people don't realize about racing is when they cross the line first... Mm. they get first place.
If you don't beat other drivers in a race, you're not going to win that many races. But bringing it back to Hungary, yeah, I mean, but then you look at the last two races and George Russell, Lewis Hamilton both got pole position, 22, 23, Max Verstappen won there. So just because you weren't on pole doesn't mean that, you know, you're guaranteed the race win. Also, sometimes there's an element of weather that comes into it. However, it is going to be absolutely scorching over the weekend. If I just quickly look at my weather app and yeah, 35, 34. Oh, it's going to cool down a little bit. It's going to be like 30 degrees on Saturday and Sunday, but still going to be very, very hot out there.
Hayden, I'm in America. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't understand Celsius. Oh, so you're going to have to translate that to Fahrenheit.
What
for me,
is
pal.
A kilometer? Oh my God. Right. We've already established a language barrier and we're two episodes in to inform you.
Yeah.
It is 95 Fahrenheit. That's how hot it's going to be. This
Thank
weekend.
You. That's Which, hot.
Yeah. I'm going to die out there.
So how much is that going to play into tire deg, Hayden?
No, it's going to be bad because Hungary's usually is quite a bad track for tire wear. It puts a lot of degradation on the rear tires. And, you know, you are putting a lot of load through the corners in Sector 2 as well. And it is like Monaco without the barriers, as you suggested to earlier. It's very tight. It's very technical. It's very twisty. And, you know, it's a shorter lap as well. 70 laps total, which is the race distance. So, it's going to be a difficult one, I think, on tyres. And we have seen it maybe in the past before where tyre strategies have dictated the race. In particular, I'm thinking 2019, it was an incredible race in which Lewis Hamilton, I think it was Lewis Hamilton. I'm going to have to get my facts right. It was either Lewis or Max. It was Lewis versus Max. And it was the strategy where they boxed for an extra set of tyres, even though it was predicted maybe a one stop or a two stop. They went for that extra stop. And then ended up catching up over the rest of the race and literally caught to overtake in the last few laps. And by the time the other team had realized what they were doing, it was too late and they would have jumped them anyway.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's super fascinating because I think if it's going to be really hot, if we're going to have a lot of tire deg, like I think strategy is going to play more into it, which I love. Like, I don't know about you, but I remember watching last year and watching, like, for instance, the street race in Baku, where most of those cars could have like raced the entire Grand Prix without a stop. Like that was very boring to me. Like the only reason Esteban Ocon went into the pits at the end is like he had to, or else he would have gotten a penalty. So I really appreciate it when we're on circuits that require two stops, three stops, because it requires a lot more strategy and it's not just about who has the fastest car.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I mean, my favorite era of Formula One from when I've been watching 2012 season, and I always come back to 2012, and people might think I'm a bit of a broken record when I talk about it, but it was all about mixed strategies. It was mostly a two-stopper, sometimes a three-stopper race. And you have those drivers, or, you know, you have those drivers sometimes if it was a two-stopper, like it was usually Sergio Perez. He was an absolute master at looking after the tires. He would, you know, extend his stints to do a one stopper and would get in the way of everybody else. It was sort of like a bottle. They'd struggle to overtake him. All these cars would bunch up behind Sergio Perez and you had these massive fights going on the back in the midfield that were involving about five cars. I'm thinking of like Valencia, for example, which was just crazy to see. And that's kind of, I feel like, what we're missing in certain races where you can just do, do you know what, actually, let's just do, there's a safety car that's come out of the start. Screw it. Let's just go for hard till the end of the race. Job done. Well done, lads. Let's go on to next week. No, like, why don't we have more stops? Not saying refueling, but in terms of pit stops, more pit stops in which there is a bit more of a strategic element. And I actually think, and I will keep on banging this drum, but I think having three different compounds of tires over a week ruins it. And I think if we were to go just to two, it would definitely push teams to do more pit stops and have to think a bit more about strategy, which is a kind of weird element when you think about it. You're taking away a strategical element, but I think it would add more to strategy.
That's interesting because that's what IndyCar does. IndyCar has primary and alternates and that's it.
Yeah, that's what we used to have.
So I never thought about it that way, that having less options would create more opportunities for strategy. But yeah, would love to see it.
As they say, less is more, James. Less is more.
Before we get into predictions, can you talk about your experience driving in the Hungaroring?
Can I talk about my experience? I actually really enjoy racing on the Hungaroring. I haven't done it in real life, sorry to disappoint everyone at home. But in terms of on Not a simulation, it's F1 24, but it's clearly as close as we can get to a simulation. I actually really enjoy it as a circuit to drive. It's fun, it's flowing. It is difficult to overtake, but when you make an overtake, it's even more satisfying. So I actually think it's a great circuit to drive. I quite like it on the calendar. I think a Formula One calendar should be completely different from one another. That's why I like Monaco being on the calendar. It's a one-off race where it's all about qualifying, and it's 78 laps of endurance and not hitting the barriers. You know, you get Monaco, which is kind of a bit similar, but you have a bit more room to breathe and maybe a bit more room for errors as well to maybe push a bit harder. So, but I don't think we should have too many circuits that are like those two. But also, I don't think we should have too many circuits like a Monza, where it's all about flat-out straight-line speed. So I personally quite like Hungary, and I'm quite glad it's on the calendar.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of losing weight only to gain it all back? The weight loss experts at SlimRank.com have done the research. SlimRank.com ranks the safest, most effective GLP-1 programs that get and keep the weight off for good. Stop watching the scale go up and down. Go to SlimRank.com and pick America's number one weight loss program today. SlimRank.com. That's SlimRank.com. Your dream body is just a few months away. SlimRank.com.
All right. We were having terrible sync issues, but we're back now, and we just need to do a quick test. okay, here we go. What song are we going to do to try to sync up?
Right? We are doing the greatest song ever known to man, and that is the F1 theme song.
Okay, do you want to do the starting notes, or do you want me to?
I think you're better with like the deeper part, and then I think I'll come in with the harmonizing.
Okay. All right, here we go. Bum bum bum. Bum 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 bum. Okay, I think
we're a little bit delayed still.
Are we still a little bit delayed? Okay. We were like right on it a few minutes ago.
But it's not as much. It's like by like 1 second.
It's a little better.
It was like 4 seconds.
It was so bad.
So we are now good.
So we're talking what? Hungary predictions now?
Hungary predictions. That's what we were on. Yes, Hungary predictions. Right. We will get into Hungary predictions before we go on to this short tangent. No. What are we predicting? Top three, top five? Let's do top five. Let's go top five.
Okay, great.
I like top five's good.
You want me to go first? Or you want to go first?
I'm going to let you go first, actually, because I've got no clue. So you go first, and I will base them off what you say.
Unpopular opinion. I think I'm going to play the hot hand with Lewis. He's won, what, 9 times at Hungary?
Okay.
He also, fresh off a win at Silverstone, I'm going to say Lewis is going to take P1. I'm going to put Max at P2. I'm going to put Lando at P3. Okay. I'm going to put one of the Ferrari boys at P4. I'm going to say Carlos Sainz P4, Oscar Piastri P5.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I'm going to keep on pushing this, and it's going to happen at some point. Lando P1, then Max P2. I think you can never underestimate Max. I know you're like, well, you underestimate him by putting him second. Yes, okay, but I want a championship fight. So just allow it. Let me have my copium for P1, okay? So P1 Lando, P2 Max. Then P3, we're then going to go with Lewis Hamilton. P4, we'll go with George Russell. And I'll go P5, Oscar Piastri.
Love it. Great.
I feel like time management, as we spoke about on the other podcast, I think at a high deg circuit, I think Oscar's going to struggle a bit more here compared to Lando. So yeah. I think that's why he's going to drop back behind not only a Red Bull, but two Mercedes.
So you think McLaren's going to figure their strategy out and get Lando a second win?
Well, it's not supposed to be raining this weekend, so that's a big help for them. So they don't have to worry about when to go onto the inter tires and also when to come off them. So that should be a good step in the right direction for McLaren. And so far, at least in the dry conditions, I mean, the strategy's been okay. I feel like Spain has also been a bit of mismanagement with strategy and then having to re-overtake George Russell. But yeah, I do think that they have the pace, and they had the pace in the last three races to win the race. And I think hopefully this week off, this break that they've had, has given them a chance to reflect and get over those little hiccups and you know, bring it home.
Hell yeah. Love that. Let's bring it home to the kingdom of Bahrain.
Well, football hasn't come home this year. Sorry, soccer. No, I'm not calling it soccer. You can call it football. It is football, and it did not come home. So we go again 2 years. So maybe Lando can bring something home for us in the UK. Why Lewis at the top? Are we just steamrolling that that Mercedes on top? They've got two wins on the bounce, I suppose. So.
I think we're playing. I think it's a combination of me playing the hot hand fresh off of his win at Silverstone, plus his track record at Hungary. It's historically been a good track for him. Mm-hmm. It feels like the car's in a good place. So, yeah, I know most people probably aren't putting him up there in predictions, but I'm just gonna go for it. I'm gonna take a leap of faith.
I'd love to see it. I just don't want to jump on the hype train just yet. After one race, I want to, maybe if he's there again, then I'll be like, okay, cool. I'm ready to jump on that. I'm getting fully excited again. Lewis Hamilton wins. Yeah. Give it to me. But right now I'm like, I'm not going to set myself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
So we're just going to put him in there at fourth and then hope that I'm wrong.
I'm always first in line to board the hype train. So I got my ticket. Choo-choo.
Let's go. What else is happening this weekend other than the Hungarian Grand Prix?
Formula E season 10 finale with a doubleheader in London with the London E Prix. I think it's going to be very exciting. We have, mathematically, we have seven drivers who could win the championship after this weekend. Also, the last few seasons, the championship, especially the driver's championship, has come down to the last weekend of the last race, which is really exciting. While there are seven drivers who mathematically could win the Drivers' Championship, we have four that are really in the running right now. We have Nick Cassidy and Mitch Evans of TCS Jaguar Racing. We have, of course, Pascal Wehrlein and Antonio Felix da Costa of TAG Heuer Porsche Formula E team. And also, Jaguar and Porsche are very close in the standings for both the team championship and the manufacturer's championship. So we have three different championships up for grabs. Anything could happen. I'm really, really excited for this weekend. I personally think that just because they are slightly ahead in the standings, that Jaguar is going to pull it out, win the team and manufacturers championship. I also think, barring some disaster, like I think Nick Cassidy's probably going to win the championship. I like all these drivers. I think they're really good guys. I'm big fans of them. Both as drivers, as people, I would be happy if any of them won. But right now, I'm going to go with Nick Cassidy winning the Drivers' Championship in Jaguar. I'm going to say Jaguar's going to pull a treble. They're going to get drivers, team, manufacturers.
Treble. They're doing the motorsport treble.
That's right.
Damn. Okay. Fair. I mean, I really enjoyed Pascal Wehrlein when he was in Formula 1. I do kind of wish he had more of a shot in Formula 1.
I agree.
He drove for Manor, a team at the back, and then went to Sauber, another team at the back. So never really had a proper opportunity. And we're seeing, you know, other drivers go into other motorsports and perform well. Marcus Ericsson, another driver who was always fundamentally in backmarker teams, goes over to IndyCar, you know, performs well there.
Wins the 500.
Yeah, so jinx. I think...
Sorry.
But, wins the 500, which is a huge achievement. However, I mean, sometimes Formula One is the pinnacle, and it is more difficult when you haven't got maybe all those drivers over in, like, a Lewis Hamilton or Max Verstappen going over to IndyCar and seeing, okay, what would that be like? But I think it's no mean feat as well as I feel Mitch Evans was really decent in Formula Two when he was there, and I do feel like he is someone who sadly did miss out on a Formula One seat as well, just because no seat really opened up for him, or no allegiances with bigger teams to continue his development. But finding that series in Formula E, I think those two have really now... I mean, Mitch Evans have been finding his feet for the last few seasons, but Pascal Wehrlein's really been stepping up, I think, this season as well. And I don't know what their chances are going into it, but I hope that it's going to be one of those two for me. that is going to be coming out on top.
I love that. And it'd be really interesting to see, and I don't know how many people are listening have been following Formula E this season, but Antonio Felix da Costa started off the season really, really in a sort of a low point. Like, he just wasn't finding his form, but now he's won like the last three races. If he hadn't had his win in Misano disqualified, he'd be even higher in the championship standings. Like, his second half of the season has been like absolutely unbelievable. And if he had been able to find that form at the beginning of the season, I think he'd probably be up there with Nick Cassidy, if not past it. So I'm excited for this weekend. And I think both races are going to be really fun.
Well, you were recently at Portland, wasn't it? Portland.
Yeah.
Formula E Prix. What was that like being at a Formula E? How different would it be compared to maybe other motorsport that you've been to in the past?
I think it was amazing. I think what I like about attending a Formula E race is the efficiency. Like, you get practice, quali, and then the race all in one day. The race is a little shorter. It's around like 45 minutes to an hour. I think it's, as a motorsport fan, there's a lot of different motorsport series to watch. A lot of these races are very long. Watching Formula E, you can get in, you can watch a race in an hour and then go on with your life. It's just like and it's also like a different style of racing. So much of the strategy is about energy conservation and maintaining your energy. So it's like pack racing. You don't want to be out in the front for the entire race. You maybe want to be like, you want to cycle back to like P2, P3, P4, conserve some energy. It's like watching cyclists in the Tour de France who want to sort of be in the back a little bit to conserve energy. So, and knowing when the right moment is in the race to go all out and go for the win. But as an experience, like attending the race, it was incredible. It was very accessible. I talked to a lot of fans. They said it was, you know, they appreciated how affordable it was, how easy it was to access different parts of the track, get to meet drivers, get to talk to teams. So it was a great experience as a fan for me.
I was at London last year and I actually really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun at that race. And it was my first Formula E event that I had attended. And yeah, I thought it was a joy to go watch. I think the racing was close. There's always something going on throughout the field. I think there's a bit for every sort of motorsport fan. If you enjoy racing, you've got the racing. If you enjoy, you know, following the drivers, I think there's some great personalities on the grid. If you're there as more of a casual fan and you just like a few little shunts and wrecks that are happening on, I mean, Formula E's definitely got that because it certainly takes more of America's standards of rubbing as racing.
Yeah.
Not like Formula One where, you know, minimal amount of contact and you've probably blown up your whole car and you've got to retire.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Formula E, you can knock off your front wing and just be like, do you know what, actually, I've got less drag. I'm a lot faster. Let me go.
Yeah.
I think Formula E is a series that, whilst I am still struggling to fully follow it and get into it, I think for me it lacks the one thing it does lack for me in terms of where I am a fan of racing is the storylines in the terms of having a clear front runner and a clear underdog, because I feel like Formula E, it chops and changes within weeks.
Yeah.
And anyone can win the race or anyone can be up there. I think maybe more so now it's starting to get a bit more towards that with Jaguar being the last couple of years on top. So they're sort of becoming your top team. And, you know, if you want to be a glory hunter, you go support them. Or if you want to go for somebody else, you're like, ah, you know what? You know, like when people came in and wanted to support Max Verstappen in 2021 because they wanted to see someone, you know, end Lewis Hamilton's dominance, then you can look further down the grid and find another team or another driver to be like, okay, cool, I want these to win to finally break the Jaguar dominance. So I think it's slowly getting there, but that's where at the moment I'm struggling to fully buy into it, but I think they're finding that.
Yeah. I will say counterpoint to that. Jaguar did not win the team championship last year. They ended up winning. Envision, I believe, won the team championship last year. And then while a lot of people thought Mitch Evans was going to win and he was kind of like set up to win the driver's championship, it ended up being Jake Dennis of Andretti. Jaguar like every year competes, but they haven't like dominated in the way you're talking about. But I know what you're talking about. Like there's a lot of parity in Formula E. and it's kind of like a level playing field. While it's not a spec series, they have the same chassis.
Yeah.
And there's some other parts that are uniform. The powertrain is really what separates them, the teams apart, and the driver, of course. But it's also a very young series. It's only 10 seasons in. Formula One's been around since, 1950? Mm-hmm. We just had the 108th running of the Indy 500. So we have a lot of other series that have been around for a much longer time. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. Right, that's going to wrap up what's going on this week in terms of motorsport. Now, I believe you've got a little game for me, which I'm a little bit worried about.
Oh no, this is gonna be fun.
What are you getting me in for, James?
It's gonna be great.
I'm sure it's gonna be fun, but I'm also with James, you have to always be on your toes because you do not know what is coming. Okay. I walk up to a podcast, he's there in a full Ferrari suit, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen here.
I'm gonna make you one promise. We're not going to be talking about dildos with wheels this time, even though I did just bring it up. I'm going to put...
Okay, Duncan's going to be very happy with that. And producer Duncan will be happy that doesn't return.
All right, I'm going to give you...
I'm disappointed, but you know, that's just me.
Man, I really wanted to talk about dildos with wheels today. I'm going to... First of all, can you see my screen, Hayden?
Yeah, I see what you're putting up there.
I'm giving you a list of tires, all right? So for the sake of speed, I'm giving you these list of tires. All these tire manufacturers are official tire suppliers of different series. I'm going to give you the series, and you have to tell me which tire manufacturer is the official tire supplier of that series.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go for it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right.
I'm feeling a bit more confident now.
All right.
Okay.
Great. This one's pretty easy. I think you'll get it. Formula One.
Yeah, that's Pirelli. We'll go straight in with that one. That's at the top.
All right. IndyCar.
Firestone.
Okay, great.
You haven't just listed them all in order, have you?
Not all of them, no.
They're not already in order, you're gonna list the next one. It's going to be Hancock.
Nope. Okay. WEC Hypercar.
WEC Hypercar. I'm going to say is Michelin.
Correct.
Yes.
WEC LMGT3 and also LMP2.
Oh, I thought they all ran the same tires across the whole. Okay. Is it? No, I... Can we pass on that one and then come back to it? Is that all right?
Or sure, if you want.
Do I have to tell you now?
Sure, if you want. There's no stakes. You can guess
wrong. We'll come back to that one.
Okay.
We'll come back.
MotoGP.
MotoGP, I'm going to say Yokohama, I feel like, makes the most sense.
Michelin.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right, we're going to need to... This is why I said, can I come back to it? Because I thought each of the different ones...
You can be wrong.
No, I'm not.
No, there's some overlap. There's some overlap.
Yeah,
there's
so
some,
I will, that,
there's overlap.
Okay, that's where the confusion has come in. And I was like, can I come back?
Sorry. There is overlap.
Okay, let's go for the second one.
Okay.
Then, or the one that I passed on. We'll go with Michelin on that one as well.
For which one? WEC LMGT3?
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one.
You're going to say it's also Michelin?
I'm going to say it's also Michelin, yeah.
It's Goodyear.
I
didn't know any of this stuff. So like I didn't know any of this stuff. I had to look it all up. I only knew a few of them. Okay, here we go. WRC Rally.
WRC Rally. Let's go with Hankook.
So this is a trick question. It's actually Pirelli right now, but it will be Hankook starting in 2025.
See, I knew that, and that's why I said it. It wasn't a guess, and I knew that in the back of my head, and that is why I said it.
Here we go. Here's another one. NASCAR.
NASCAR. They don't run on wheels. It's just like Fred Flintstone. He's walking underneath.
Get that.
Let's go for... Firestone.
Goodyear. Formula E.
Formula E. Is it still? No, we're going to go Hankook.
Yep, it's Hankook.
Yes.
That is correct.
I was going to go Michelin. I think it used to be Michelin.
Was it? But it's been Hankook for a while. And then the very last one is, you should be able to get this one, Super Formula. Okay.
Why should I? Why am I supposed to get this one? I'm going to say Yokohama.
Well, you know what? Exactly. That's why why it was teed up for you, because you know what country Super Formula's in. You pick the Japanese tire manufacturer.
Well, that's why I went for the same one with the bikes, but it backfired on me, so I doubted myself. But then what we've all learned today.
I think that was my fault, because I didn't make it clear that there was overlap.
I thought it was one of those things where you're just going to give me, how many are there? Six motorsports, and I just do those to each one. I was like, Pirelli and Firestone, easy. So I can just do the others as I go.
No, I gave you 10 series and six. I should have made it clear. That is my fault. I set you up for failure. But I think for the most part, you did pretty well.
I think I got over 50%. I'll take that as a pass.
Yeah. What kind of tires do you have on your personal car?
They are usually very worn. I don't actually know. Whatever the easiest answer, whatever's cheapest, when they ask me every year for my MOT, when I have to get new tires, which no one should ever be going through tires once a year on their road car, but I do. And you might be thinking, Aiden, you've probably got some expensive car if you're betting.
Yeah, what are you doing on your car?
It's just a Vauxhall Corsa, and I take roundabouts way too fast than I probably should do.
I have Toyo tires on my Toyota Prius.
Toyo
tires. It's a, let's look them up. It's a Japanese tire manufacturer. I don't know if they're related to Toyota. I know that it sounds similar, but yeah, Toyo tires. It's not though. I think they're, I think it's just a coincidence, but I could be wrong. I'm looking at their Wikipedia page and it doesn't look like they're owned by Toyota. You would think though. I gotta tell you, if I'm welcome onto this podcast again, you gotta tell me what kind of tires you have on your car.
Well, I feel like you won't be anymore, because I'm gonna ask you this next question. I feel like it's gonna be a deal breaker right now, and I'm gonna ask you how to spell tires.
Well, in America, it's T-I-R-E-S.
Yeah, well, so thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. James will not be returning.
Color is spelled C-O-L-O-R. Labor is spelled A-L-A-B-O-R.
Oh, dear.
We like to have fun here. Dear.
Let's not get started on aluminium.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Right, shall we get on to the last part of the podcast, which is by no means the least, and it's where we get to set our teams up for this weekend's Hungarian Grand Prix on our grid rival, WTF1, F1 Fantasy. We have two leagues going on at the moment. We have the WTF1 League, which is our official league, which everyone can join, so you lot at home take part in. When my phone loads up, I will tell you who's currently leading it. And it is probably the same person. No, Sunha has been pipped. Sunha has been destroying this league, but they've been pipped. It is now R. Kieran's, God and Chips, and then Sunha. They're our top three performers in our WTF1 official league. So congratulations to both of you two.
Performers.
Yeah, completely messed that up. But in the Golden Helmet League, also, it's been a bad week, James.
Yeah.
I'm no longer leading it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. What happened?
I don't know. Over the last 2 weeks, I've made error after error, and I don't know if I'm going to be allowed anywhere anymore. I don't think they're going to have me back at WTF1. I think you're going to be leading the podcast next week, and I'm going to be out.
Uh-oh. Really? Is part of your job performance tied to your grid rifle team?
Has to win everything. They're already looking at me with stern faces after the quiz you gave me. I didn't get every answer right.
You did pretty well. And I also wasn't super clear that I was going to give you like 10
series. But not good enough, James, all right? Not good enough. So, grid rival. Who's in your team?
Okay, so here we go. This week, I have Oscar Piastri. I have Charles Leclerc. I have both Alpine drivers and Gasly and Ocon. Okay. I have Yuki Tsunoda, and Ferrari is my manufacturer. Yuki Tsunoda is my star driver. He's sort of like my he's sort of like my default star driver. I go back and forth between Yuki Tsunoda and Hulkenberg being my star drivers. They almost always deliver. Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, that sounds like a very, very strong team to me. I've got Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri. Then I've also got Yuki Tsunoda as well. Same reason. It's either him or it's Nico Hülkenberg. It's back and forth. Yep. When one's out, the other one's back in. At the moment, I have had to go for Albon and Zhou because I had a bit of a stink the last 2 weeks and I lost a lot of money. So my team value has mean I've had to go for some drivers who are barely going to score 100 points, probably not going to score 100 points. So I'm in the mud a little bit there, but I've also got McLaren as my constructor. So I've got three McLarens, which puts a lot of hope on them. But I do feel like their progression so far this season is positive. And I think, you know, having them at the top is only going to be good. It's going to gain me money.
That's also expensive. You use like the vast majority of your budget on papaya.
Right, listen, okay, I built up a lot of budget because I kept on gaining value every week. I think my team value was like 115, 120 million.
Wow.
Right. And then it has come down quite a lot. So I went for those three. And then for the other three spots, I was like, okay, we'll just go for drivers that I feel like have just gone down in value and are going to come back up. However, they kept on going down in value and actually lost quite a lot more than they lost the week before.
Right.
And now my team value is down to 110. And I've got those three papayas in for at least another three races.
Well, I wish you good fortune. But I had to do something similar. I had to cut cut Checo Perez from my, let me say his name correctly. I had to cut Checo Perez from my Grid Rival lineup because he was performing so poorly. Like I signed him at Canada cause I was like, all right, he just secured the bag. He's going to be there for two more years. All the stress and pressure's off. He's going to perform really well. Had a terrible Grand Prix in Canada, continued to not perform. He got like a 3-place penalty, I think, for Spain. So I had to release him with penalty. And I'm glad I did because he's continued to do pretty poorly. And I think what I like about Grid Rival is the contract thing and how you're not just trying to get the best drivers. You're trying to get the drivers who you think their stock is going to go up. So I have Leclerc, Gasly, Ocon, and Ferrari specifically because their stock has been down in the last couple of weeks. And I'm hoping to make some money. I made about $3 million off of Logan Sargeant last week. I didn't have any money left on my lineup. Logan Sargeant was the only driver I could afford, but he ended up making me like $3 million. So I was like, heck yeah, P11, I look like a genius.
Yeah, I mean, Alpine as well, the last few weeks, just keep on going up and up. I think last time out of Britain, dropped off a little bit, had a bit of a stinker of a result. But, you know, I feel like they're going to keep on pushing that forward and developing their car and is a great option. And I think Haas as well, Nico Hülkenberg, just one of those, I think he's just a standard. Like, if you can get him in for as many races as possible, get him in because he's only going to go up
100%
as they just continue to carry on scoring points as well. Like he's got two back-to-back sixth positions, which is huge for them. I think the Astons are slightly on the rise as well.
Yeah.
So both Alonso and Stroll could be a decent option, but then that could easily flip. I think Aston and Alpine are the two teams that might be flipping a little bit with each other because recently it all been Alpine up to Britain and then Aston Martin came back and Alpine dropped off a little bit. So I do think that be smart with when you pick up those two.
Yeah.
Lots of teams. But yeah, I think it's could be definitely very interesting.
I also have a league for myself. And I want to give a shout out to the person currently leading my league. Their team name is Dat Bottas. Also some other good names in the top 10. Yeah. We have Besides Myself, as well as Zach Brown, Lick My Balls.
Okay. There was, I could see the moment in your brain as you were thinking, like, do I say this? Don't I say
this? It's the team name. It says right here. Wait, you can't, it's not focused. You can't see. There it is. There it is.
Why does it look like it's got your picture next to it?
That's not my picture. That is not my team.
That's your picture.
That is not my picture.
What is your team name? Because I'm expecting some great things from you.
It's a reference to a very obscure Michael Jackson song that most people probably aren't familiar with. Okay. It's All I Want to Say Is That They Don't Really Care About Haas. Are you familiar with, okay. with what song I'm referring to?
Don't think I'm familiar with that one.
It's a song called All I Want to Say Is They Don't Really Care About Us. It's an obscure reference. It needs work. What's your team name?
I mean, it's better than mine. Mine's just my name. So it's better than mine.
Boo, what original, boo.
I know. Hey, whoa. No one spells Hayden like the way I spell it. So if anything, I am very original.
It's true. I have to correct it all the time on my phone because it autocorrects to E.
Exactly. The amount of people that spell my name wrong, I should, might as well just get it legally changed to Hayden. Job done. Save everyone a lot of effort.
Also, before we leave, we need to really quickly talk about how good Lando Norris's helmet is for Hungary.
I think there's a lot of good helmets. This is a weird conversation. This has gone from dildos on wheels to driver's helmets. But sure,
I'm just saying, before we wrap up,
deep dive into this.
It's
hey,
have you seen it? Have you seen Lando Norris's helmet yet? Go to his page.
I have seen it. I think it looks really cool. And also, his is very similar to him and Ocon have done something very similar.
Yeah, but
I've seen Ocon's. Ocon's one though is the same pattern for the trophy that he won in 21, and I think they've both done it in that kind of style.
I thought Lando's was the same pattern of the trophy that he broke.
Maybe.
I think that was the joke. I think that's why it's. I think that's why Lando's helmet is so funny. It's because he broke Max's trophy last year.
So he's basically done what Ocon's done, but then also one-upped him at the same time.
Pretty much. How funny would it be if somehow Lando broke Ocon's helmet?
I don't know, because that'd be quite something quite serious to do, James, all right? And which we do not condone on this podcast.
Yeah.
All right, what are you trying to say there, hey?
I don't know.
Or he just goes over to Ocon's garage and just breaks his trophy.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so mean. Ocon doesn't have a lot of trophies.
That would be so mean. Quickly, briefly on Ocon, he's also recently been given his 2021 car in his garage, which I think is really cool.
Oh, cool.
For Formula One drivers to have like their own F1 car in their home garage. I think that's a really cool, after everything that's gone down with Alpine in recent times with both of them, and I think it's a nice way for both of them to end on, to remember what they did together. And I think that's, I think that's quite a nice thing for him to have.
Nice to end on a high note.
Exactly. And that is where we are going to wrap up. James, thank you very much for joining us. We didn't go too much off topic this time.
So we went so off topic. Like, this was supposed to be a 10-minute episode, and I think it's like 40 minutes long.
I think it's longer than the one that we did on Monday. Same again, Mercedes, if you want to send us both a steering wheel, let us know. And whatever platform you're currently listening to this podcast on, make sure you hit that follow button. Check out WTF1's official socials, and make sure you go check out James and myself on social media as well. And we will see you in another podcast very soon. Until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.